Welcome to On Texas Football. I'm Bobby Burton, your host, joined today by Jerry Hamilton, On3 national recruiting analyst, as well as InsideTexas.com recruiting reporter and analyst. Jerry, you're up in the DFW area this week, checking on some key players for the Longhorns. You saw Marcus Deal yesterday, the big lineman from Naaman Forest and Garland. He had just gotten back from his Georgia official visit. Texas still in there. What's going on there?
Yeah, I think this recruitment is really trending to Texas versus Georgia at the end of the day. If you trust the couple of people you talk to close to this recruitment, it's been pretty consistent, and it remained the same yesterday. Visiting the school, I was there for a couple hours. Got a great visit to Georgia. Trey Scott has been recruiting him, the defensive line coach at Georgia, which if the defensive line coach isn't recruiting Marcus Deal, you aren't getting Marcus Deal. So he spent time with Will Muschamp and the defensive staff and Kirby Smart. And the interesting thing that Georgia hit him with, knowing his father's a high school football coach and mom's in education, is would you actually be willing to go far from home? I thought that was interesting that Georgia hit him with that on the visit and the parents. And, you know, it's like Marcus said, you know, due to NIL now, that makes travel a little bit easier from a financial perspective. From a time perspective, we'll see at the end of the day. I mean, look, his father's a football coach. It's hard to travel on Saturdays. I mean, if you go, you know, I'll take you back to a recruitment, the Haynes King recruitment was Tennessee versus Texas A&M. And one of the huge reasons Haynes King ended up at Texas A&M was that John King was the head coach at Longview, and they work on Saturdays, you know, and weekends during the season. So it's hard to go see your son if you have to jump on a flight to get there. So I think just bringing it back to Deal, I think that's kind of one of the reasons Georgia hit the family and hit Marcus with that, is they know the situation. And that's what, you know, people up close and the schools that are recruiting, whether it's Texas, Oklahoma, or TCU, have always thought they had in their hip pocket in this recruitment, is that, you know what, look, as long as the dad's a coach and the mom is working in education, I mean, but the schools close to home may have a built-in advantage there. And I think that's true. But does that mean Marcus Deal won't go to Georgia? No, it absolutely doesn't. But he really likes Texas. I put up a story on Inside Texas about the Alabama unofficial visit. He said it was like nothing he'd ever seen before, just the atmosphere. He thought he'd seen a big change in the Texas program, the team. And, you know, he kind of mentioned off the records how some of those freshman kids were on the field, as we've talked about before, and they were on the field against Bama in game one and game two. And so that's I think that's been big with Marcus. He's not an early enrollee, so he's not going to be a kid that's necessarily in a rush to hit the field. I mean, he's sticking around for high school basketball and track his senior year. Well, he could easily be an early enrollee, so he chose not to do that. But Bo Davis has done a great job. He will be back on campus at Texas before he makes a decision in December. He's going to be at the TCU game against Oklahoma this weekend. But I really think this is more Georgia-Texas right now, with Oklahoma really fighting to get him on campus one more time before he makes a decision.
Jerry, I want to ask you next about Malik Muhammad, who you also saw yesterday. But first, we need to thank our sponsor, Gabe Winslow. The recruiting breakdown is brought to you by a great Longhorn mortgage professional, Gabe Winslow. Gabe is a diehard Texas ex with more than 20 years in the industry, doing mortgages throughout the great state of Texas. Contact Gabe today and give him the opportunity to earn your business. www.mortgagesbygabe.com is the address. Jerry, you also were at South Oak Cliff yesterday, talking to Malik Muhammad, the talented cornerback prospect that's committed to Texas, who is still taking other visits. Javon Thomas, another player at that school, also a cornerback possibly looking at Texas. And then Billy Walton, the linebacker, defensive end, edge prospect, is committed to Texas as well from South Oak Cliff. What were your thoughts after meeting with those guys yesterday?
Yeah, I thought the meeting with Malik Muhammad was about like I thought it would be. You know, he's a kid that kind of, you know, Eric Nolene and myself talk about it. He kind of profiles to Texas. I mean, he just feels comfortable at Texas. He likes Austin. He likes the vibe around the university. He said his family really liked the official visit, really liked Austin, really liked Texas. So look.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
To me, when he committed, and we've talked about this, all that did was put a bullseye on him by Nick Saban, Texas A&M, and those guys, right? He's one of the top five cornerback prospects in the country. He'll likely be at Alabama October 8th for an official visit. That's when Alabama plays Texas A&M. Texas A&M's working to get him back on campus. I don't see him going to Texas A&M. I think this is a Texas versus Alabama recruitment, and like it was when he made it in his initial decision to go to Texas. I think Texas is in a good position for Muhammad. They need to win games. I think that's pretty obvious right now, right? But I do think that the reasons he picked Texas still align with him, but Alabama is certainly going to make this a fight. And look, he hasn't been in contact with Nick Saban probably as much as maybe he would ideally like, but T-Rob, defensive back coach, is on him every day. Pretty much the message is, we still want you and we're going to get you. So Texas knows what this recruitment is. I mean, they know when they're on the right guys. They're battling the right programs. You know, you're battling Georgia for Marcus Steele, Alabama for Malik Muhammad. I mean, these are the battles you want to be in. They know what it's like. They've been through it, and they know they have to recruit through the whistle. And with Malik Muhammad, that's going to be through November to that early signing period in December. He's an early enrollee. He's going to be an impact type of freshman, and it's a huge recruitment. But I think Texas sits in a good spot right now before more games are played as they head into that, as Malik heads into that Alabama official visit. Javon Thomas, I think, you know, he hadn't played this year. He's been hurt. They brought him along slowly to get ready for this playoff run. The word I got from multiple people at South Oak Cliff yesterday was he'll probably stick with A&M. And probably a lot of that's he just hadn't played this year, right? I mean, and he's going to play more running back than defensive back, so he's more of a projection than a guy like Malik Muhammad that goes out and plays corner every week at a premium position. So I think Javon probably sticks with A&M. Billy Walton's having a great year. He's very productive player, has had double-digit tackles, I think multiple games, definitely did against Duncanville. He's pressured the quarterback. He's got a ways to go physically, but that's okay. I mean, he plays with a chip and an edge. Quite frankly, Texas needs more guys like that on the defensive side of the ball, so he's a fit there. Again, that's Malik Muhammad's cousin. That is the person he's closest to. Of the Texas commitment. So Billy Walton's having a really good year. He's solid with his Texas commitment.
Gotcha. So how is Muhammad playing this year as well?
Muhammad's playing well. He's got 25 tackles. I think he's given up about 50 yards in passes. You know, there's a video. Jonte Cook had one on him in the end zone where he just didn't get his head around. But he's played the run well. He's been a more physical player. And that's one of the things in the article at Inside Texas I posted yesterday. I asked him, you know, one of the things I asked Malik was, look, when you're a highly ranked prospect, everybody tends to kiss your butt. But has any coach actually told you what you need to do to get better? And he said Nick Saban told him, went way back, he said, you have to be more physical, especially if you're going to play in the SEC. And like Malik said, I'm playing in the SEC. So he has been a more physical player, I think, against the run this year, and he's made a conscious effort to do that because I think he's an instinctive cover guy. So I think he's playing really well against the run, and that's backed up. He's got around 25 tackles against really strong competition.
Let me ask you this. Texas going at wide receiver is the next position I want to hit on. Jalen Hill committing to Alabama last week. But you look at it right now, Texas still after a couple of other players or at receiver right now, including DeAndre Moore, a young man out of St. John Bosco in Bellflower, California. Then you also have McCall Harrison Pilot. Anybody else and Kyle Parker, I guess, out of Lovejoy is a possibility too, who's committed currently to LSU. What are you hearing right now as far as wide receiver recruiting in the Longhorns? Obviously, they already have three commitments.
Well, I think there was headed into the weekend, there was some confidence on the DeAndre Moore side. And in fact, I think there was a lot of confidence on the DeAndre Moore side. I think the expectation is he's probably not signing with Louisville. We'll see what happens with that, right?
Jerry, his high school quarterback is Pierce Clarkson, the son of Steve Clarkson, who is committed to Louisville. And I think trying to get a bunch of kids, not just DeAndre Moore, but a bunch of guys out west and around the country like Reuben Owens to Louisville with him. Why not Louisville for DeAndre Moore if that's the case?
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You know, it's just a thing within our industry. There's just people, multiple people you talk to just don't think he's going to end up at Louisville. Could the industry be wrong? Yeah, it's been wrong before. But I think that's kind of the prevailing thought, whether it's out west or people in the southeast that may have, you know, connections to in that to staffs, you know, that are still recruiting DeAndre Moore. But I think the overwhelming opinion is he's not going to sign with Louisville. But I'm with you, Bobby. I mean, look, there's a lot of connections to Louisville with DeAndre Moore. But there was some quiet confidence on the Texas side with DeAndre Moore, so we'll see how that shakes out. I think Kyle Parker's a really, really good football player. I think he'd be a really good fit at Texas. Brennan Marion's been on him a long time. He's committed to LSU. I think he would be a strong flip candidate if Texas really pushed that envelope with him. So I think that one's one that is worth watching. Harrison Pilot, there's some, you know, confidence. That one, recruitment's just more all over the place. You know, he loves the Cal staff. I think TCU, Malcolm Kelly's done a really good job with him. I think there's a genuine interest there in TCU. Obviously, there's University of Houston connections. I'm not sure if I see that at the end of the day. So that's a recruitment that's really, you know, more wide open and is different than most guys ranked in the top 200, top 250 in the country. There aren't many times where you see the school list that's Cal, Houston, TCU, right? And Texas. I mean, so it's a more of a wild card recruitment with Harrison Pilot. And he's been one that stuck to his guns. He was not going to get forced to commit early or felt like he was forced to commit early. He was going to take his time and make his decision. And so it'll be interesting to see which way that goes. But I would think Kyle Parker maybe a little more than Harrison Pilot in terms of looking at what which way Texas or where Texas would have the best shot currently if DeAndre Moore ended up not going their way.
Let me ask you this. I mean, you mentioned Malcolm Kelly, the wide receiver coach at TCU. He's obviously an OU grad, I think, at least played at OU. I'm not sure if he graduated there. And OU lost its receivers coach prior to the season. Is it a foregone conclusion that Malcolm Kelly is the next wide receivers coach at OU, or is that something that is still just being discussed?
Prior to the season, look, a couple of people I talked to were like, yeah, that's going to happen, right? Of course, see how things play out. But before the season, again, it was pretty much a consensus that he would end up as the Oklahoma wide receivers coach, which would be interesting because that factors into, you know, look, TCU has Cordell Russell committed, who is having a tremendous senior season and is a physical freak. And then that factors in the Mikel Harrison Pilot recruitment. How could that potentially affect a guy like Jordan Hudson? Could a Jordan Hudson, even though Malcolm Kelly wasn't really the reason he went to TCU, Samples has already left TCU, right? If Malcolm Kelly goes to Oklahoma, what does that do for a Jordan Hudson? Does he jump in the portal? I'm just spitballing here. Quentin Johnson obviously is going to go be a first-round pick in the NFL draft. But that's how things could change. Not only, and when we talk about this, the reason I brought up a Hudson, I'm not starting a rumor here at all, but the reason I brought up a guy like Jordan Hudson is the portal factors in as much as the high school recruiting does nowadays. I mean, and so we have to talk about those situations.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And that's why I was asking about Malcolm Kelly, because the rumor was out there. And I know that some Oklahoma fans in particular would be ecstatic about that. Because he has got some skins on the wall in recruiting, especially in the state of Texas. He's originally from Longview as well. Jerry, talking about the portal in Texas right now, Longhorns are going to have to take a look at the portal because they still have some immediate holes to fill. Steve Sarkisian turned over the roster heavily last year, 35 new players or so on the roster in the last 12 months. You add another recruiting class coming in. They're going to need some adults in the room because they can't just keep playing with freshmen and sophomores here next year. And really the class that's coming up is the one that got really taxed, that would be seniors, got really taxed heavily by attrition with Tom Herman. So given all of that, where do you think Texas looks in the portal at this point? Or is it too premature to say much? I mean, obviously you have to think they're going to go after an edge guy.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's like everybody's talked about that from the outset. That's the no brainer. What's interesting though now, Jerry, about the portal to me is this: you can no longer know necessarily who all is going to be in the portal. A lot of guys would be putting their name in the portal ASAP after the end of the season. Well, they're going to have to wait 2 weeks, and then you're going to have roughly a month or 2 weeks to sign those guys. I mean, it's going to be a free for all in the portal in December.
Yeah. That's why it's important to have a couple of guys on your staff that are prepared for it all. Right.
I don't even know if you can be adequately prepared if a mass of humanity rushes through the door. I mean, you can try to be prepared for an onslaught of 1,000 kids going into the portal, but give me a break. Nobody's going to be able to handle that.
The one thing I think we do know about the portal is.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
A lot of times these schools know ahead of time before a guy goes in the portal, and that's not illegal contact. I think people are out there thinking a coaching staff's DMing a player on Twitter, or that's not how this stuff happens. Look, you have these guys have relationships with people all over the place, right? So it could be the 7-on-7 coach, or it could be the former high school offensive coordinator. Somebody reaches out and said, "Hey, man, Johnny's thinking about jumping in the portal. Would y'all have interest?" That's how this stuff gets started. It's not illegal contact. So I do think there's an element of, yeah, you're not going to know the names, but I would think there's going to be some schools that are going to have a pretty good idea of 4, 5, 6 guys that are coming in the portal, and would they have interest in them or not. As far as positions, edge, absolutely. I mean, Malik Muhammad said it yesterday in the interview. He said, look, man, Texas needs some pass rushers. If they get some pass rushers, they're ready. They're ready to go. So that's absolutely on the table. I think linebacker, I mean, it is going to be on the table in the portal defensively, maybe even corner, depending on how everything shakes out with this recruiting class and how the freshmen like Terrence Brooks, Austin Jordan, those guys come along this season. Offensively, yeah, I'm not sure on that one. I mean, if you lose 3 running backs, maybe you look to bring somebody in with Cedric Baxter because Trey Wisner is a guy who needs a little time. I'm not sure if I'd go there, though, honestly. You know, could you look at another receiver? I don't know. I think it's going to be more defensive heavy in the portal is where Texas is going to go. I know where you don't need anybody. That's on the offensive line and tight end and quarterback.
Yeah, I think quarterback is good. In particular, as long as you don't lose someone other than Hudson. Like I expect Texas, if Quinn Ewers finishes the season healthy and Hudson Card is the clear number 2, I think people would. It would not be unexpected if Hudson Card went into the portal.
Correct.
I'm not trying to be negative towards Hudson. He's a great Longhorn, tries his, you know, what off. But he's probably going to go somewhere that he has an opportunity to start after he gets his degree from the University of Texas, by the way. So it's not – he's not skipping out or something like that.
No.
But if Malik Murphy were to go and leave – and or Charles Wright, then you're just literally there with 2 guys.
And why that makes sense, Bobby, is if Quinn Ewers had been healthy all season and Hudson Card hadn't really got a chance to play, well, he doesn't know if he's improved player or not. He's at least seen that he's improved from last year to this year. And so now he's like, okay, the thought process has to be, oh, yeah, I can go do this somewhere. I can go do this somewhere. And I think that makes a lot of sense for him.
Jerry Hamilton of On3 and InsideTexas.com, $1 for 1 month right now on InsideTexas.com. Also, Jerry and I will be having a chat and talking not only about recruiting and answering your questions on recruiting, but also talking about the team and where we think the Horns are headed. into West Virginia. The recruiting breakdown is brought to you by Gabe Winslow, a great Longhorn mortgage professional. Gabe is a diehard Texas X with more than 20 years of mortgage industry experience throughout the great state of Texas. Contact Gabe today and give him the opportunity to earn your business. GabeKMG@gmail.com if you're looking to move anywhere or buy anything, any kind of property in the state of Texas. Jerry, my question for you to finish this off, disappointing loss at Texas Tech this weekend, this past weekend. Obviously, some feeling of that is just fan-based. How much of it reverberates within the player recruitment area as well?
Well, I think the next game is a big one. I mean, look, it wasn't a good loss. There's no way to spin it. I mean, from any way you look at it, whether you were thinking Texas was going to get 9 wins or 8 wins, the season 8 still on the table, but, or from recruiting perspective and momentum. So it wasn't good in any way. But I will say this, Texas can get a little re-energized again. They go out and they beat West Virginia. Say Quinn comes back and looks similar to what he did early against Alabama. Well, you can go win in Cotton Bowl, and suddenly that the momentum you have right back in recruiting, right? And then you can set up the last half of your season. So obviously it's not ideal, but the West Virginia game would be catastrophic for me in recruiting. We're going to be brutally honest here. I mean, you can't lose to Texas Tech and West Virginia back-to-back weeks and think you're going to recruit against Nick Saban. That's just not going to happen, right? So you got to come back and win this Saturday. It'd be great if Quinn Ewers was on the field and looked good, and that offense started to look like it did early against Alabama, where people thought they chalked that up as a win for Texas, even though Texas didn't win the game. Now that's kind of out the window, right, with the loss to Tech. But they have to beat West Virginia. You can't lose that game. And then you have to go play well in the Cotton Bowl. And if you win that game, then suddenly you have a lot of recruiting momentum again. And honestly, I mean, he needs to. Sark needs a big win, right? I mean, he's been close, but you need to beat West Virginia, and he needs to go win in the Cotton Bowl. I mean, he had the close shave against Alabama, then the bad loss last weekend, but you can grab the momentum if you win the next two.
Got it. All right, Jerry Hamilton, thank you very much of On Texas Football. We'll be back with you at 7 o'clock tonight for a chat. Please leave your questions in that, and we'll get this going. We appreciate you guys sticking with us through thick and thin. Longhorns not doing well over the weekend, but still, if you're a Longhorn fan, you're going to want to know what's going on in recruiting, because that is ultimately the future as well. All right, for Jerry Hamilton, I'm Bobby Burton, and this has been the Recruiting Breakdown.